It seems that as we watch the news, as we hear things on the radio, there's a lot of controversy going on. There's a lot of disagreements. There's a lot of discord. There's a lot of wars being fought. And it's because people don't see each other as equals. Many of us are familiar with the words, the stirring words of Thomas Jefferson in the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, a lot of people might not recall the rest of the Declaration, but this particular line is held dear by a lot of people. So is it true that all men are created equal? Well, after all, we know that each of us is a unique individual. Even identical twins, we had identical twins. They're different. They have different capabilities, different characteristics. No one is perfectly equal in all aspects of life. And we're not all equal in circumstances. For example, in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, and in verse 11, it says, "Again I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, and the battle is not to warriors, and neither is bread to the wise, nor wealth to the discerning, nor favor to men of ability, for time and chance overtake them all." Some people are rich. Some people are not. Some people have talents in sports. Some people don't. Some people have talents in various businesses. Other people don't. Are we equal in everything and in circumstances that happen? Well, no, there's time and there's chance. Some people just happen to be in the right place at the right time. So we're not equal in every aspect of life. But we do share one thing. We all do share the fact that seemingly random events happen to us beyond our control that change the outcomes of our lives. But there are other things that also make us equals. For example, we're all equal in origin. The common thread among all people is that we are all created by God. In Proverbs 22, Proverbs 22 and in verse 2, "The rich and the poor have a common bond. The Lord is the maker of them all. It doesn't matter who you are, you all come from God. You're all created by God." In fact, in Acts 17, in that sermon that Paul did at the on the mountain or the hill at in Athens, he said in Acts 17 and verse 26, "And he made one man from every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, to having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation." Depending on your translation, it says from one blood or from one man. We all descend from one person. It all started with Adam. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 45. "So what is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. The first man is from the earth, earthy. The second man is from heaven. So is the earthy, so are those who are earthy. And as the heavenly, so are those who are heavenly. Just as we are born in the image of the earthy, we are also will bear the image of the heavenly." We are born here on earth. We hold the image of the one from which we descend. That's Adam. In fact, from this one man, woman was created. In fact, the word woman means from man. In Genesis chapter 2, Genesis chapter 2, and then starting at verse 21, So the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed the flesh that is at that place. And the Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib from which he had taken the man, and brought her to the man. And the man said, "Now this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." And later on, she is named then the mother of all living. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 20, "Now the man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all the living." 7 generations later, the world is destroyed because of mankind's wickedness. But one family, Noah, his wife, their 3 sons, and their wives all survived. And we're all descendants of Noah and his sons. In Genesis 9 and in verse 19, so these were the sons of Noah, and from these the whole earth was repopulated. So all of us descend from Adam, including Eve. All of us descend from Noah and his wife. And the concept then of race doesn't actually exist in the scriptures. All men are descendants of both Adam and Eve and their descendants, Noah and his wife. Rather, the Bible speaks of nationalities and languages. It's not like we're different races in that sense. We are the race of mankind. And that all started, the nationalities and the language started in the Tower of Babel. In Genesis 11, starting at verse 1, it says, "Now the whole earth used the same language and the same words. And it came about as they journeyed east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, 'Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly.' And they used bricks for stone, and they used tar for mortar. And they said, 'Come, let us build for ourselves a city, a tower, whose top will reach unto heaven. And let us make for ourselves a name. Otherwise we will be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth.' And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. The Lord said, 'Behold, they are one people, and they all have the same language. And this is what they began to do. And now nothing which they propose to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down there and confuse their language, so that they will not understand one another's speech.' So the Lord scattered them abroad from over the face of the whole earth, and they stopped building the city. Therefore its name is called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of the whole earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the whole earth." This then is how we get the various nationalities. Various regions, people settled in, there was some inbreeding, and various characteristics became dominant in various areas of the world. What has always fascinated scientists is that all the variations that we see in humans are the result of only minute differences in our DNA. An evolutionary biologist, in other words, a person who has really no reason to support the scriptures, said, "Race doesn't matter. In fact, it doesn't even exist in humans." Alan R. Templeton, PhD, professor of biology in the arts and sciences, has analyzed DNA from global human populations. He shows that while there are plenty of genetic variations in humans, most of the variation is individual variation. While between populations, variations exist, it is either too small, which is a quantitative variation, or is not the right type of qualitative variation. It does not mark historical sublineages of humanity. You can't, by the DNA, easily tell who's who. And another quote from a different person says, "The geological maps of principal components, values construction by Caravel, Mazzoni, and Pizza, in their famous The History and Geography of Human Genes, shows continuous variation over the whole world with no sharp boundaries and with no greater similarity occurring between Western and Eastern Europeans than between Europeans and Africans. There's just not much variation between the various parts of the world. We are equal in our origin because we all come from Adam. And we're all equal in our downfall. Mankind shares, if you want to call it a personality disorder, we all have this tendency to sin. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Sin started with Adam, and we have all imitated his downfall in our own ways. In Romans chapter 5 and starting at verse 12, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but the sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is a type of him who is to come." We did not inherit Adam's sin. We don't offend in Adam's particular sin, but we all sin. We've all fallen to the same problem. And nationality is no barrier to sin. Going back to Romans 3 and in verse 9, it says, "What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have already charged that both Jews and Greeks are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands, there is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside, together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. Their throat is an open grave, and their tongues they keep deceiving. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their paths, and the path of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be closed and all the world may be accountable to God. Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. We have all sinned. We have all fallen short. We all do not do good. We're all equal in that way. And so we all equally face judgment. Because we all have to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Every one of us. There's no exception. In fact, in the illustration in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus mentions that all nations are going to appear before him. Matthew 25, and starting at verse 31, "But when the Son of Man comes to his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before him. And he will separate them from one another, so that as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left." All nations will appear before him. There's no exceptions. There's no bypass for one particular nationality. There's no condemnation for one particular nationality. We are each going to be judged in a similar manner. And that equality of judgment ought to give us sympathy for our brethren. Because in Romans chapter 14, Romans 14 and in verse 10, but you, why do you judge your brother? Or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, or of God. We will all be there. Knowing that I'm going to be judged just like you, it ought to give me sympathy. It ought to give me compassion for others. And that judgment is going to be impartial. It's going to be conducted based on what we have done. And that judgment will be fairly given. Take a look at Colossians. Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 24. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, is the Lord Christ whom you serve. For he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done, and that without partiality. Whether we do right, whether we do wrong, God's going to judge us based on what we did. Again, there's not going to be a pass. God's not going to overlook because one person's from a different nationality or another, or that one has been belonging to one group or another. We're all going to face judgment. And it's going, like I said, going to be based on what we did. In Revelation 22 and in verse 12, behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to render to every man according to what he has done. God's going to look at your life. Look at what you did with it. And you're going to be judged based on it. And that judgment is going to then be based also on the truth. God's going to compare what we did to what he told us to do. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 2. And we know that the judgment of God rightly falls on those who practice such things. But do you just suppose this, O man, when you pass judgment on those who practice such things and then do the same yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourselves in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each person according to his deeds. God's the one who's going to decide. You don't decide who goes to heaven. I don't decide. God decides. And it's going to be based on the record of my life. In Revelation chapter 20 and in verse 12, and I saw the dead and the great and the small standing before the throne, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. God remembers everything that we've done. And we're going to be judged based on what we do. And we're going to be based on the gospel. Going back to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2 and verse 16. On the day when, according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Jesus Christ. But we're equal in another sense, too. God has equally offered us salvation. Because if we stopped where we talked about God was going to render us judgment, the situation would look hopeless. We've all sinned. We're all going to be impartially judged according to the record of what we've done. Well, I messed up. So have you. We're judged by the truth that we have failed to keep. Doesn't sound like a very good hope. But see, God's loved us so much that he was not willing to let us go. in Romans chapter 5 and at verse 6, "For while we were still helpless at the right time, Christ died for us, died for the ungodly. For the one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man some would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, that in while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if we, while we were enemies, were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." God was willing to send his own Son to die. So while we are sinners, so that he might offer us salvation. That plan wasn't a last-minute plan. God has been designing this before he even created the world. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kindness of intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. In all wisdom and insight, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he proposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of times, that is summing up of all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have retained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were first hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory." God has planned from the beginning of the world how to save us, how to make us into a people that he could welcome, that we might praise his glory. And that plan of salvation, it was offered to everyone equally. It wasn't given just one particular group. In Galatians chapter 3, Galatians 3 and verse 26, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free man, there's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise." We are all the same in God's sight. Without distinction. In fact, in Romans chapter 10, speaking of the division between Jews and Gentiles, in Romans chapter 10 and verse 12, "For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him." And when we are saved, we are all equally made new. In Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3. And starting at verse 9. "Do not lie to one another, since you have laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free man, but Christ is all and in all." It's all about Christ. Not about you and I. And so our salvation is offered equally. And while the plan is equally offered, you also have the same opportunity just like everyone else. You can accept what God has offered or you can reject it. It's equally offered, but it may not necessarily be equally accepted because we're all individuals. It really is up to you. One last passage in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and starting at verse 12. So then, my beloved, just as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but in now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. I want you to think about that. Do we see everyone around us equally as all who need salvation, that if God has offered equally salvation? There's an opportunity this day, if there's anyone who wishes to become a child of God, that offer is open. And for those who are children of God, would like to praise your brethren on behalf. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.